Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. There is no God like our God, who gives strength to the weak, but breaks the power of the mighty, who gives food to the famished, but makes those already full work for their bread, who raises the poor from the dust, but humbles the proud and arrogant. There is no God like our God. Our affirmation of faith. We believe in God above us, creator of all things, sustainer of life. We believe in Christ beside us, companion and friend, redeemer of all the broken pieces of our universe. We believe in Spirit deep within us, advocate and guide, who lives with us eternally. We believe in God's resurrection, created world, where all things are fixed and all creation fits together in vibrant harmonies. We believe in God above, beside, within, God yesterday, today, and forever, the three in one, the one in three. We believe in God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of 1 Samuel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. Our scripture text this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verses 11 through 25. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but there are times when I'll be walking so strongly in the Holy Spirit, and I mean, this could go on for days or weeks or months, that it seems as if nothing could possibly bring me down. And then, many times, not even on purpose, I'll do something, and I'll do something completely dumb. And out of the blue, I'm no longer walking on cloud nine. Now, I don't mean that when I'm walking on cloud nine that there isn't bad things going on around me. Maybe I have a cold, or maybe I'm really worried about a church member, or I've got a family member in the hospital, or maybe something at home has broken. But I still have that peace which transcends all understanding. The things that get me down are sins, whether they be advertent or inadvertent. And this is because I've dedicated my life to following Christ. I want to know him more and more each and every moment of the day. I want to become more and more like him. And I want to do his will. But friends, there are barriers that get in the way. There are things that occur that remind me just how far away I still am from being holy. And I'll tell you, my family doesn't have to admit it. I'll admit it on my own. I mess up, and I mess up often. Can anyone here relate with me today? Today's epistle lesson speaks to us about Christ's sacrifice for the sins of the world once and for all. And it also says in verse 14 that by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. It doesn't say that those that are already holy, it says those who are being made holy. Now, this is one of the things that makes the Christian journey so exciting, but it can also make living as a sinful, imperfect human being in a fallen world, it can be very disconcerting at times. When it says in verse 14, by one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy, it means that those of us who are running the race were fully forgiven. And quite often, we don't understand what that means, or we don't accept the fact that God loves us that much. Our minds can't comprehend unconditional love, especially if we're not unconditionally loving others. It's often so hard to understand how or why God could possibly love us that much. Some of you might remember the Peanuts cartoons with Charles Schulz. And he wrote in this Peanuts cartoon as Lucy approached Charlie Brown with a paper and pen and says, "Here, sign this. It absolves me from all blame." And then she goes to Schroeder with the same paper and says, "Here, sign this. It absolves me from all blame." Finally, she comes to Linus. "Here, sign this. It absolves me from all blame." As she walks away, Linus says, "Gee, that must be a nice document to have." Well, friends, we don't have a document, but we do have a Savior who committed the most unselfish, loving act in the history of the world. Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary so that we would be absolved of all blame and would be fully forgiven. Remember when Jesus caused quite a stir by saying, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." And then, after Jesus was arrested, the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus. But when they couldn't find any, many false witnesses came forward. Two of those false witnesses used against Jesus. They said, "This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days." It's very interesting that after Jesus Christ died, it was only a few years until the temple was fully destroyed. And Israel, of course, hasn't been able to put up another temple since then, and Israel is not offering animal sacrifices anymore. In verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 10, we're told it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The blood of the animal sacrifices only covered over the sins until the Lamb of God came, who is Jesus. And Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. Of course, when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days," the temple he was talking about was his body. But in many ways, Jesus was also talking about the actual temple because the Holy Spirit dwelt inside of Jesus. The Jews had always been taught that God dwelt in the temple, but now, through his once and for all sacrifice, Jesus has changed the location of the temple. I want to ask you today, where is the temple? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. The temple is within the body of those who, through faith in Jesus Christ, have accepted the sacrifice of his body for the forgiveness of sins and have been born again. That is, the Holy Spirit of God has entered their hearts and he's entered their minds. If you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you, friends, are God's temple, because within you, the Holy Spirit of God dwells. Now let's look again at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." That is what Christianity is all about, having the laws of God written in our hearts and on our minds. This is the new and living way which has been opened for us through the curtain, that is, Christ's body. And so we are to draw near to God with sincere hearts. This means that we are to have an undivided allegiance to God in our inner being. And we are to have a faith that knows no hesitation in trusting and in following Christ. When a little child is in danger or despair, he or she literally runs and throws him or herself into the arms of his or her mother or father. Friends, that's full assurance of faith. And only with this full assurance are our hearts kept sincere. Many times we don't run to God with this full assurance. This is often where the trouble comes in. Sometimes when I sin, I don't run straight to God. Sometimes I run straight for myself. Sometimes I run the way I used to run before I was saved, or I just run around in circles, which is most likely the case. And of course, this causes a huge conflict within my soul. Look again at verse 22, where it says, "Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We are to draw near to God as people who have been, are, and remain forgiven, with the dread of guilt no longer holding us back. When we sin, we are to draw even closer to God. We're to run to God with sincere hearts, with the full assurance of faith, repent, and move on. That's part of the problem that we have. We tend to repent, but then we tend to dwell on the fact over and over again. God wants us to move on once we have repented. Those of us who've been born again are the temples of the Holy Spirit of God. So we, as imperfect as we are, have someone holy living inside of us. And this Holy Spirit is putting the laws of God in our hearts and writing them on our minds. So when we have to do something that is not in step with the laws of God, we feel a conflict inside of us. And that conflict is a good thing. That conflict is what keeps us running the race. That conflict causes us to return to the full assurance of our faith. And it also teaches us a lesson. For we are humbled and reminded of our constant need to rely solely on the grace and goodness of God. Like the Israelites in the desert, we Christians can easily forget where our help comes from. Look at verse 23, which says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." It's hard to see how any Christian hope could possibly exist apart from the promises of God, because our hope is established on the promises that God has made to us, and these promises are our daily bread. The Bible begins with the promise of redemption and ends with the promise of final triumph. In Isaiah 1:18, God promises, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Well, gee whiz, that has come true. Praise the Lord, right? Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Anybody who is saved knows that this promise is fact. In Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus declares, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." I want to tell you something today, friends, and I want to testify to you. I've experienced that promise. How about you? That's what gives us hope. For we know that God's promises are true. Therefore, when we mess up, when we sin, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Did we realize that there was so much in this passage of Hebrews? We've already covered faith, we've covered hope, but there's more. There's love. Let's look at verses 24 and 25 again. "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We are to consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is the work of the Lord, putting His laws in our hearts and writing them on our minds. We are called to love God and one another. There is no greater command than that. Only love can awaken love. Only humility and patience can stir up good deeds. It's pretty obvious that we can say that we need each other. Dwight Moody was once witnessing to a person, trying to persuade him to accept Christ. They were sitting in the man's parlor. It was winter. A coal was burning in the fireplace. The man was arguing that he could be just as good as a Christian outside of the church as he could in it. And Moody said nothing, but he stepped over to the fireplace. He took the tongs. He picked up a blazing coal from the fire and he set it off by itself on the hearth. In silence, the two watched it smolder and go out. "I see," said the man. If there was ever a time when believers needed to come together, it is today. Instead of chopping each other down, we need to draw together in love around the person of Christ. We need to encourage one another. We need to study the Word of God together. God has something for a group that He will not give to any one individual. God won't let me grow in the knowledge of His Word unless I share it and I hear from others who share it. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We have Bible studies in this church, and there's blessing there for each one of us that get to be a part of that. We just can't get the same effect when we study only by ourselves. We need to make sure that we consistently attend worship together. We need to make sure that Sunday school classes are here. We really do need each other. All of us do. There's a once and for all sacrifice for our sins. Have we accepted this for ourselves? God is putting His laws in the hearts and minds of those who are saved. How does that make us feel? We are to draw near to God with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith. Oh, what needless pain we bear when we fail at this. We are to hold on to the hope we profess and know to be true. We are to build each other up in love and meet together and fellowship together and worship together and study together. Just look at the three graces in this epistle: faith, hope, and love. Praise God for the confidence that we share through the blood of Christ. Won't you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that we have confidence to enter the holy place through the blood of Jesus, which has washed us clean from our sins and cleansed our hearts by faith. Thank you that Jesus is our great high priest, and that we have access to God through the new and living way which He Himself inaugurated for us through His flesh. I pray that I may draw nearer to you with every passing day, so that my heart may continue to be sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, so that I may walk in newness of life in Christ to His praise and His glory. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.